is Only a Game. I'm Karen Given. In some ways, the story of how John Perdue became a Roman Catholic priest is a story about hockey. John grew up in Canada, but that doesn't mean he was born with a hockey stick in his hands.
My mom would tell you that I didn't like it at first, and I would cry the whole time I was out on the ice.
Over time, John learned to love the game, and he was good. His team won 2 provincial championships. But as college graduation was approaching, John began to feel like something was missing in his life, and it wasn't something he could find at the hockey rink. So he decided to check out the seminary and maybe become a priest. John was worried he'd have to give up hockey. That's when he learned something he now calls a revelation.
Every Friday, the seminarians played, and I could continue kind of playing sports and kind of being normal and be a priest as well, which was kind of a piece of my saying yes.
So John started playing ice hockey with his fellow seminarians every Friday night. He says it helped him push aside the stresses of his studies.
Also kind of bonding with the guys, lots of laughs and the occasional trip to the hospital if somebody hurt themselves or whatever. Like, it's a very beautiful part of my formation for the priesthood.
Growing up, John had heard stories about a team of hockey-playing priests called the Flying Fathers. But once he got to seminary, John learned that the team had disbanded just a year or two earlier, in 2008. John tried to reach out to a priest who'd worked with the Flying Fathers. He wanted to help restart the team, but he never heard back.
Then I get ordained a priest, and I'm assigned to the Cathedral of St. Peter and Chains in Peterborough. It just so happens that at the cathedral, I meet this very friendly greeter, a good storyteller, friendly guy by the name of Frank Quinn. And one day he's just like, did you ever hear about the Flying Fathers?
He said, I have to talk to you about this. He said, I've always dreamed, he said, of restarting the Flying Fathers.
That's Frank Quinn.
I said, I used to be their manager. Well, his eyes just popped, you know.
He's able to just tell me stories, and he regales me with a lot about Les Costello. Like, yes, about the team, but a lot of it kind of featured on the figure of this hilarious, good-hearted, lover of the poor, Les Costello.
Father Costello was my parish priest when I was a boy.
That was in Timmins, Ontario, 8 hours north of Toronto.
His sermons were, they were down to earth. You know, there's loggers and miners and kind of a rough community just after the war. Father Costello always had just a wonderful message about giving of self.
His great patron was Martin de Porres, who's a 15th century South American saint who was devoted to the poor. And so his garage and his living room were full of stuff that he was taking out to the poor. And he never owned a vehicle. He would just go down the road and just jump in a truck and take it and use it to deliver a fridge.
Imagine a priest there at 25 below zero in a place like Timmins out hauling fridges, stoves, you know. When he would say Mass, I'm not joking when I say it would take 45 minutes to empty the church. He'd take the time, everybody just crowd around him, he's just like a rock star, you know.
And the story of how this rock star became a Roman Catholic priest, that's a hockey story too. Father Les Costello grew up in South Porcupine. That's just up the road from Timmins. And he was a very good hockey player. He rose through the ranks, and in 1948, he got called up from the minors to help the Toronto Maple Leafs win the Stanley Cup. He spent most of the following 2 seasons back in the minors.
And he and his brother, who's also an excellent hockey player and a Hall of Famer, Murray Costello, they're headed back to training camp the next fall.
Murray was going to the Chicago camp, and Father Costello was heading to Toronto. And the two of them got on the train, bid the family goodbye. And at North Bay, just about the last little bit of the train ride,
Les turns to Murray and says, well, Murray, we'll see you later. I'm headed east. And Murray's like, what do you mean? We're going north. And Les says, no, I'm going to the seminary, Murray.
And at that time, he thought that Father Costello was crazy to be giving up this wonderful career that he had. But in any event, went into the seminary.
But soon, Father Costello would have a reason to pick up his hockey stick again.
This started out in 1963 in North Bay, Ontario.
That's Father Les Costello in an interview he gave to a First Nations TV station in 1986.
A young guy had lost his eye, so we thought it would be very good to get together a bunch of priests playing hockey against guys that were in worse shape than we were, like cops or radio guys or TV guys. So we had a game, and we raised $5,000. We gave it to the mother. It was better than bingo, so we continued on.
I think all the humor got added in that first game in North Bay. They only had about four skaters taking on a whole team. But the police chief was at that game. Father Costello borrowed the handcuffs from the police chief and handcuffed the goalie to one post. So that helped them score a lot.
The reason we win so many games is we cheat.
Frank Quinn didn't become a priest. He became a cop. But his childhood connection to Father Costello helped him snag a spot on the Flying Fathers as a ringer. And this is where you might come to understand why some compare the Flying Fathers to the Harlem Globetrotters.
We make it look like it's going to be a very serious hockey game. Somebody scores on us, we have little gimmicks. The first guy to score in the opposition, we ordain him a priest, and then we count his gold for the Flying Fathers.
There was slapstick. There were people being penalized for acting like a Protestant.
That's author Frank Cosentino. He's written a book about the Flying Fathers.
They found novel ways of scoring, you know, like they'd break and they'd go into a huddle, and they introduced a football. The goalie would be the quarterback, and one of the priests would race down the field on skates, catch the pass, and throw it in the goal. It was 6 points. The Flying Fathers would pull out a rule book and say, show me in this rule book where it says you can't throw the football in the net. He says, well, it's not in that book. I said, well, there you go.
And then there was the team's backup goalies, two horses named Patience and Penance.
The horse had goalie pads and a clown on his back. We'd give a penalty shot to the opposition, but the horse would generally make a save. You know what a penalty shot is?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, it's a free shot. Anyway, Father Tim Shea would ask the horse, who is going to win? Are the opposition going to win? And the horse would say no, just shaking his head. Flying Father's going to win? He'd say yes. By how many goals? And the horse would start to paw. One, two, three. Okay, that's enough. And then they say, why are we going to win? And the horse would bend down like he's praying.
It was just a delightful family night where people could enjoy being brought together as a community.
Cosentino says the bishops were a little unsure about allowing their priests to travel the world playing hockey instead of staying in their parishes tending to their flock.
The priest's comeback was, well, we can do both. We go on our own time. We provide funds for charity. We provide entertainment for a family so that they could come as a family. Praying and playing was the motto that they used.
So they kept at it. And then in 1979, something happened that made the Flying Fathers even more famous than they'd been before. Father Les Costello lost his toes.
Did you hear about him losing his toes?
Oh, tell me about that. Yes.
He was out at partridge hunting, and I guess a storm blew in, and I guess he couldn't see his tracks, and so on. He got lost in the bush overnight.
Blurted out, Martin DePora said, if you want me to keep doing some work for you, you better find me some help, because I'm not going to last too long. And within a short time, he heard a gun fired, and so he got his rifle, too, and he fired that in the air. The search party was out looking for him, and they rescued him.
Anyway, the bottom line is he had such frostbite they had to amputate seven of his toes.
So that he only had three toes, and he called them the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. It became international news. There were media people from Canada, from the States, from Europe, who wanted to find out more about this priest who had his feet frozen.
How much money did you all earn over the years?
Father Costello always said it was about families and working for charity, and it isn't about the dollar sign. So we don't really count it, but it must be in the, I think, tens of millions.
Wow.
It has to be up there. We have played some games where they've made for charity over $250,000.
Wow.
You know, that's pretty good money.
But as all this was happening, the Flying Fathers were getting older. By this time, Frank Quinn had stopped playing and was the team's manager. So at what point did it start becoming more difficult to put this team together?
Well, I think everybody knows with the scandal of the priesthood.
People weren't coming into the seminaries, whereas a church might have had two or three or four priests. It was rapidly boiling down to one church, one priest.
We couldn't find enough hockey players. We were all getting far too old. I played, I was nearly 60 years old. That's too old to be playing that level of hockey, you know?
By this point, it was November of 2002. Father Costello, the man who'd given up a spot on the Maple Leafs to become a priest, was 74. He was no longer the Flying Father's best player, but he was still traveling with the team.
They're on this tour. He fell, hit his head on the ice, was rushed to the hospital, had a concussion, didn't stay overnight, but the doctor told him that he should not play the next game, which was going to be up in Lindsay, Ontario, which was a short distance away from Peterborough. And while the priests were playing up in Lindsay, Father Costello took a turn for the worse and ended up going into a coma.
Father Costello died on December 10th, 2002. Frank Quinn was heartbroken.
My father was a great storyteller up in the lumber camps. Now, I'm not a poet, but I'm going to read you the start of a poem that I wrote. And it just came off of me like, you know how you feel when you're really down? So I just started off with the way my father would have. Let me tell you the story of a tough little scamp who became a true legend of the Porcupine Camp. Father Les Costello of Maple Leaf fame made millions for charity and in the Lord's name. And I just went on and on and on and on, and I must have about 20 verses here, you know. The funeral home couldn't handle the number of people that were coming. The funeral had to be held in the arena that he played hockey as a boy, you know.
The place was just overflowing. It was described as looking like a cathedral.
The Flying Fathers kept playing for another 6 years, but it was never the same.
Father Costello was the heart and the soul of the Flying Fathers, and when he died, it knocked the wind out of us, you might say.
The team played its last game in 2008 and disbanded after more than 900 wins and just 6 losses.
It was time for someone else to kind of pick up the torch, if you will.
And that's where Father John Perdue comes back into this story. In 2017, in a meeting with the organizers of a hockey tournament, Father John was asked if he could put together a team of hockey-playing priests.
I kind of sat back and it's all in my mind. And I'm kind of like, is this kind of the moment that this is going to happen? And I was like, guys, you can't have a team of hockey playing priests in Canada and have it not be the Flying Fathers.
And right there, as the meeting was still going on, Father John called Frank Quinn.
So Frank puts on a Flying Fathers jersey and a Flying Fathers coat, and he kind of, like, I always tell the story, like, as if he kind of, like, kicks the door in the middle of the meeting, which he didn't actually do, but it had the feeling of, like, you know, bursting onto the scene, and he starts regaling everybody with stories of the Flying Fathers and telling them all about the history and the travels and the jokes and the antics of the team.
Well, he's been driving me like a tired mule ever since, trying to get things going.
The new Flying Fathers scheduled their first game for January 29th, 2018.
One challenge here, Karen, is like there isn't a high concentration of hockey-playing priests, so we're actually coming from like opposite ends of the country almost. We had to just say, guys, can you come early for the game, and we'll meet about an hour and a half ahead of time, and in a gym, we ran through some of the bits, you know what I mean? It wasn't even like an on-ice practice. So we always say that the team is guided. Our coach is the Holy Spirit, is God, because we're relying on grace to make these things come together.
Well, so take me into the locker room before that first game in January of 2018. How were you feeling? What were you all saying to each other?
Well, it was a blast. The priests are like sharing stories from seminary. Like some of them haven't seen each other in a while.
Frank Quinn came into the locker room to remind the new fathers to not take the hockey too seriously, to have fun and remember that they were raising money for charity. Frank didn't mention this part, but on the inside, he was worried.
Well, you know what I was afraid of? I just thought maybe it was old and corny and maybe it wouldn't go over. It's hard to fill rinks nowadays with big screen TVs and sports all over the place.
Father John was worried too.
Like, I didn't know, would people want to come and see this? Would it be a success?
Let's go, Fathers! Let's go!
The new Flying Fathers did all the old bits. Well, almost all the old bits.
The way things are with insurance and so on, you couldn't have a horse on the ice anymore, I don't think.
Okay, so no horses wearing goalie pads. But the new Flying Fathers shoved a cream pie in the referee's face. They even played a little football.
And the snap. A Hail Mary pass.
And the crowd loved it all. After that game, the Flying Fathers started receiving requests for the team to come to town. Not by the hundreds, like back in the day, but more than enough to keep Father John and Frank Quinn busy, setting up tours to visit different parts of the country.
So the next thing you know, I couldn't believe the number of... as a matter of fact, this latest tour, I've had to tell two priests, I'm sorry, we're full. We have too many players and apparently a lot more coming.
We come from many places all across this great land, wherever there's a need to lend a helping hand.
Father John Perdue is now the director of vocations for the Peterborough Diocese. That means he's in charge of helping young men decide if they want to enter the priesthood. So letting people know that there are priests out there trying to do good for the world is close to his heart. But in some ways, for Frank Quinn, this has always been about Father Costello and his legacy, which is why he's happy that the Flying Fathers will play next weekend in Timmins, just down the road from South Porcupine, where Father Les Costello grew up.
We play the game of hockey and prove to everyone that you can have religion and still can have some fun. We're playing and we're praying and we're doing what we should. And even when we give out checks, we give out brotherhood.
Many thanks to videographer Rob Viscardis for sharing his footage from that 2018 game with us. Frank Cosentino's book is called Holy Hockey, The Story of Canada's Flying Fathers. Coming up, ESPN's Don Van Natta Jr. breaks down Major League Baseball's new playoff proposal. Spoiler alert, it's not good.
For long stretches of the 162-game season, it would feel like the longest preseason in the world.
You're listening to Only a Game from NPR.